Would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to All Monster Podcast, episode 121.
Hello, listeners. I hope you're all as good as I.
You say how bad you were. So, 121 is that? Is that palindrome or something where it goes backwards and forwards? Is that the name of it?
I don't know.
Say backwards as forwards. Anyway, we're going to be talking about your expedition north of the world.
Yes, indeed. I went off to capture a white, and I dragged it back so that Queen Daenerys would support my claim.
Why would you?
Oh no!
You have to get one of those bags of fucking bones.
Bag of bones. That's what I did.
A word, phrase, or sequence that reads the same backwards as forwards.
There you go.
Obscure, fucking useless knowledge. Right. So we're going to talk about North of the Wall.
Yep.
What Paul's been doing.
Yep.
It's been about. Well, it must be in towards 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
Today is the 2nd of July. Half one ish.
Yep.
Builders are supposed to be here, aren't here, obviously.
Of course.
Obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And so, what have you been doing in the last 2 weeks, Paul? Try and save the stuff from the weekend.
Yeah, okay, cool. So, obviously, the big news is that I played in the Warmaster tournament in Scotland. Other things that stand out, any games wise? Oh, yes, Judgment. The new hotness.
Judgment. Hotness?
Is a game called Judgment. Which is...
How does he keep up with himself? He must meet himself coming back sometimes.
I do not know.
58 mil or some fucking random...
54 mil.
Obviously.
It's essentially a board game. And it's a... I think it comes from Australia. Mm-hmm. It's a offshoot of War Machine players who... or Guild Ball players who wanted something a bit different.
Does this sound like Guns Galea? Andrew Galea?
I don't know.
He's the big competitive War Machine player out there.
Right, anyway.
What was it called?
Judgment.
Judgment.
That's been taken on by a few of our club members recently, including some fairly prolific club members for games. That's the right word. I've had a go at that. And it was quite cool. The playing pieces, are miniatures, but they don't have to be.
Some of these look like cardboard tokens.
Yeah, well, that in the starting set, that's what you can get, as well as some miniatures.
So it's like a board game hybrid.
Yeah, and you either play...
like a dojo, a circular...
You either play three of your characters versus three of your opponents, or you play seven of your characters, which you choose five, versus the same of your opponent. It's a one-on-one game. So I'm sure there'll probably be variants for multiple player. And it also has... NPC monsters in the table that react, much like in a World War Beast in War Machine. Yeah, they follow.
Okay.
They follow a set pattern of things, and normally involves attacking the closest player model while you're trying to destroy the opponent's like base. For want of a better word.
So it's not like hexagons, right?
It is hexagons.
Okay.
So it's free measurement,
right?
But it's like it's on a small gaming board.
Yeah, I saw the board, but I didn't see any hexagons.
Sorry, there's no hexagons. No,
free measurement.
Yeah. It's for anyone who might have an idea. It's it plays like you have three or five super solos in War Machine, not Warcaster level amount of rules each. But super solos, and you're trying to achieve your aims. When you drop an enemy model, they will come back but weaker, and your models can level up as they like do well in said game. During the game, so they get better, etc. They power up, and it's cool. I mean, like the models are obviously at a big scale, and they look very nice. And it does play very well. It's been designed as a good. A tight game system from the work.
I can't find who the fuck's behind it, but I'm betting it's him, Andrew Galea.
Mm-hmm.
He's a fucking bright guy. Best Signal player I saw.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Well,
when he was playing Signal.
Yeah. Everyone was riding around Rids, and we tried that, and I was like, yeah, it's cool. I mean,
you bought in?
Of course, yes.
Me?
No, well, you don't need to. It's all online. On Wednesday, We're having another game of it at the club. Right. And I'll just print off
tomorrow,
and I'll just print off three interesting looking character stats cards and the freestanding dummies, you know, the dolls for them. But she's them.
Just this looks, what's that? Guild fucking Steamforge game.
Guild Ball?
No, with the big fucking dude and the little crews that you go with them. It looks a little bit like that. You had like the big fucking dude.
Oh, God tier.
God tier. Yeah. So you have your three champions.
Yeah, that's still to come out from its Kickstarter.
Okay, some of the aesthetic looks a bit God tiery. Mm-hmm. But hey.
No, they're big ones.
I'm not saying they're textile. Yeah,
like, they're big creatures. I mean, like.
They're not 28 mil.
This game's been around, I think Judgment's been around a couple of years. It's done a couple of waves of models.
Right.
They have like your starts, your typical fantasy races, you know, your elves.
Fuck elves!
But there isn't any limitation on who your characters are. Like, they just have a type, like they have a defender, and an aggressor,
right.
A support. And it just that's just a guide to, like, if you took all aggressors, you'd be fairly limited. Like, you know, but you need the right balance of, like, the start of the which three or five models you pick. And it does have a nice mechanic in the five player, in the full game version where you have five models. The opponent has set you have seven you choose from. Your opponent can choose one of your models that can't be used.
Right.
And you get vice versa. So here's my stable of seven, there's yours. I choose that one, you can't use that one.
Mm-hmm. That's quite common in esports. So you bring like five lists to play.
Oh, right.
And they say you can't use this list because I fucking hate playing against it, or they don't have a counter for it or whatever.
And
the other person gets to do the same.
The same, yeah.
So that's quite clever. Hmm. But it does mean you need to have a bigger collection than you would if you didn't have that eliminated.
So the way I'm looking at this is like there's quite a few, at the moment Handsome Dan can't get enough of this. But that's his style. He'll play it until he's bored of it or something. He feels like he's broken it. Yeah, and the two-player starter set is the only way you buy into it. But like I say, I'll just print off some dolls tomorrow, and I'll see if it becomes a thing. I mean, like it was okay. It was like, but yeah, it was. I liked it. You know, but I'm a little, you know, as in like you don't need to always jump 2 foot into everything.
No, sir.
Do you?
No, sir. No, sir. You do not, sir. So you end up like me, sir.
Yeah.
With a fucking garage full of stuff.
Yeah. So that's the only game aside from this tournament we're going to talk about the whole podcast. That's the only game thing I've done.
Well, I didn't even play Magic this week. Mm-hmm. Playing again next week, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
Fingers crossed. I didn't make it to the club because of my boy. Been playing Pokemon Go. That's about the most exciting thing I've been fucking doing.
Uh huh. Have you had your last Magic meeting?
Well, we had a really successful last two meetings already. So I think we had like 30 players between two meetings.
Oh dear. Right, so what are you going to do?
So we had a week off, mm-hmm. and then we're going to see what happens. We'll try and just have intermittent kind of events, like once every couple of weeks, what happens.
So over the summer. A less full schedule.
Yeah, and then we can see if we can build some momentum back.
I mean, have you asked your pool of players to it? Like your attendance?
Well, the reasons they don't attend.
Like,
there are lots of reasons they don't attend. The biggest one is that Monday night's not particularly good for people who play big tournaments at the weekend.
Ah, okay, yes, because they then can't be away that night. Yeah,
makes sense. So they'll go away Friday, Saturday, Sunday for tournaments.
Yeah, they can't be doing something Monday as well.
They're playing more and more tournaments. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of there's not much I can do about that. I'm not moving day. That wouldn't work for me at all. Moving day, so that's not fucking happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What else have I been doing? I found this. This is quite interesting. My first ever trophy.
What is that?
It's a wargaming trophy.
Barry J. Pittman, winner, Selwig, Warhammer 40k League, 2006-2007. Warhammer 40k League?
Yeah.
40k League. What were you playing? What were you doing with that?
Marines, wasn't it?
Marines, was it?
Of course. Although it was back in the day where everybody had an answer for Marines. Big in it, it's like fucking European Cup.
Yeah. Bit too big.
It's a little bit too big. So yeah, that was. I think I'd only been playing war games for about a year, but I was always a cheesy fucker even back then. That's not that long ago.
Then you always begin a cheesy. Then you just began as cheesy.
Yeah. You couldn't compare me to Grizzly Bear. I wasn't going to win any fucking painting awards.
I guess not.
So I found out that the kids were laughing about how massive big it was. If for anybody not here, it's got to be like, it could be maybe 2 feet fucking tall.
2 foot. That's not 2 foot.
18 inches?
Yeah, 18 inches, yeah. Man, like...
Always got to exaggerate,
haven't you? It's our man nature.
That's a full 12 inches. Yeah. Right, so, well, that'll do for the fucking crack on the... Right, so, Week in Warmaster.
Week in Warmaster.
I think there's two things running around here on the list. You haven't seen that thing down the bottom then, no?
Which one, what?
That, have you printed this out?
No, I haven't. Oh, yeah, you didn't email it over to me.
I shared it to you, sir. Mm-hmm. Right, so, first, from KevCon 2001.
Uh-huh.
He sounds a younger distant to
right,
me.
Right, okay.
Because that normally indicates an age, is,
doesn't right,
it?
Yeah, go on.
So that'd be like 18.
Or maybe that was the time, the year they came of age. Like,
oh, right. Hopefully you guys will do more battle reports someday. Oh, this was on fucking YouTube. A new YouTube comment. They were saying that they really enjoyed the Defend the Village episode.
Oh, okay.
And that thanks for the videos, you should do more.
Yeah, but we should.
We should, but then Paul's got editor, so that's unlikely to fucking happen.
That's not necessarily true, but...
Well, bring it on, I can supply the video.
Okay.
But the editing is a pain in the balls.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Who knows?
Tap your fellow up, whoever you like, the guy with the handy cams and stuff. What software do you use?
Yeah.
All that stuff. Mm-hmm. We have Dancing Yak, 120% funded.
Yes, good for them.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So I think they were looking for about 10 grand, weren't they? So that'd probably be 12 grand.
7, 8, yeah, so I think, yeah.
I mean dollars.
Oh, well, yeah, dollars.
10 grand mm-hmm. dollars. So that's great news, good for them. That means there's some Chaos Dwarves kicking around, hopefully. Mm-hmm. That's good for everybody.
Yeah.
We have, what's this fucking, Phil Goff. Why is there a 16th of January mm-hmm. rekindling the flame? We must have read this before, haven't we?
Have a quick recap.
You look at this and see if you've read that before.
Yes, we've read that before.
Okay, right, yeah. I just didn't delete it off. I said, I'm sure, fucking. Mm-hmm. Right, good, so we can get rid of that. We don't need to talk about that. And we can talk about Crunchy Forge.
Yes.
Supplying that beautiful Slayer on a dragon's head.
So.
For every player of the Warmaster GT.
Yes, indeed, yeah. Good old John at Cromarty Forge.
Euro GT, sorry.
So, what we have in front of us is a range of 6 units of his forthcoming Skaven range. So, lucky me, I turn up to...
Lucky me, you're Mr. Cheese.
Mr. Cheese. Yeah, so I turn up to said event, North of the Wall, and John introduces himself, and then later on that day, he says that he's got some models for me. And because he wants us to promote them, and I'll paint them up, and I can also do something that he can't, which I'll compare it to GW original stuff, because mm-hmm. I have a GW original Skaven army.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have to say that they are fantastic. The look he's gone for with the Skaven is he's gone for the classic, I would have said 7th edition Skaven look. So the Clan Rats look like little mini versions of the Clan Rats that you could buy currently in Age of Sigmar, which are still the same models from 7th edition. Is certainly, I would say, they're certainly on a par with GW's range, if not better. They're certainly, the models are much more dynamic in poses. The Storm Vermin look fantastic. They're my favourite, because I really liked that look of Storm Vermin that the 7th edition Storm Vermin had, and these are little miniature versions of them. The Rattle...
Are Storm Vermin like bigger?
Yes, they are.
They are
significantly bigger.
They look, they're
much
50%
more, they're much more, beefer models, beefer guys. The Rat Ogres are really cool.
The Rat Ogres are very nice.
Loads of like bits hanging off them, like a little war pit, a little Skaven on the back here, like telling him what to do and like riding him. The Giselles are here, Plague Monks. So what he said to me is like test versions of said models so far.
These Stormvermin are very different to the GW ones, I think. Because I think the GW ones, are quite similar in scale.
It's hard to tell
on Clan Rats.
Clan Rats.
I'm sure there's more armour on them, but they're not easy to fucking
spot. They're not easy.
Well, these, you cannot mistake these.
You cannot mistake
these. They're carrying two-handed weapons, and they're bulkier and taller, and they've got more armour.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're not mistaking those for fucking Clan Rats.
No way. So here we go.
So you've got Gutter Runners, Giselles, Clan Rats,
Plague Monks,
Rat Ogres, and Storm.
And some custom wound markers.
You'd need like 20 times that to keep up with you.
Probably. So,
what's this? 2-8? Back in 8? So, what was the biggest combat res against
24 or something? Yeah, so the thing that's really, I think it's like I've reached a new zen here, because so I've been given stuff, models, because of this podcast, because of who we are.
Because of just being the talent. You don't even have to do any work. Just turn up, spout some shit, go home.
It's fun. I mean,
Cinderella sorted out.
I'm a little tired because I did a night shift, like a weird hour night shift last night. But I mean, I hope to dampen any enthusiasm. But it is, they do look fantastic. And what's even more impressive is that his Kickstarter, which he needs to use, he wants to use for promotional ability, promotion. He's done it all. You know, it's all ready to go. You know,
this is a Mantic style Kickstarter, where it's already done.
It's already done. So, you know, when he needs only a token amount to fund it.
Although you have to be a little bit coy in how you pitch this, because sometimes they won't let you kickstart something that's done.
Oh, okay.
I think it didn't. Dancing Yacht got into some stick. I don't know. But anyway, from what I understand, there's got to be some. Mm-hmm. You can't go there with a finished product and say, just buy this product, like pre-order. There's got to be some like element of mystery to it. Say, oh, we stretch goal.
Yeah, fair enough. But I mean, he can't just go straight onto a web store presence. Because he needs Kickstarter.
He wants to give 8.5% to Kickstarter.
Well, he needs Kickstarter to promote himself out there. Yeah, he needs that window, window. But if you want a Skaven army, this Kickstarter is due to go in live around in September.
Yeah,
I would recommend it. He's quoted me saying he'd probably charge about £8 a unit.
Sounds very reasonable. So that'd be about $10 mark.
And off you go. I mean. Skaven are a very hard eBay army to buy.
Oh, impossibly.
Yeah, they go for far too much money when they turn up.
And you need far too many of them.
And you need far too many of them.
Especially the fucking clan knights.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. And as I say, these are all unpainted models at the moment, and I'm going to paint up some test units for them. You know, I'm not a commissioned painter, as in terms of...
Well, you are.
I'm not like a pro painter. But I'm going to use some contrast paints on them, see what they do. And the examples I can show then are, I would say, are well achievable by anybody. Like, here's this new look Skaven army, painted quite simply, using these techniques, these colours, this is what you get. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's awesome, in fact. It's just like, because I did not expect this at all. I didn't know he was going to be there, and suddenly I'm in possession of all this stuff.
It's certainly nice that you can suddenly see stuff that's been 3D sculpted and then metal cast and what it actually looks like. I really like the shields on the Giselle.
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, if the Chaos Dwarfs end up looking as good, that will be impressive as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he also spoke to me about future projects he's got in mind. There will be other stuff from him, non-Skaven wise in the future. So as I will turn my attention to painting these stuff. It also comes at a real nice time because I'm in between projects and I can knock out a few of these, get some paint on them. I'm really quite keen to use some of the contrast paint as well. So that's the big news from Comedy Forge is. I have the stuff in my hands.
Okay, well, there you go. Mm-hmm. Get some pictures online, sir.
Yeah.
Attention! If you need to get your miniatures safely from point A to point B, then get yourself a KR Multicase. KR Multicases come in all manner of different shapes and sizes and have gamer-friendly pricing. So do yourself a favour and get yourself a KR Multicase today. Soft foam, hard cases.
So now we're going to talk about North of the Wall. North of the Wall. I'm glad they embrace the northernness. You say we are North of the Wall, where the fucking wildlings live.
So
Jon Snow's going back up there.
Yes, he is.
Getting some fucking haggis
permanently. He's got the North in him.
Pudding.
He's got the North in him.
I lived in Aberdeen for about 18 months.
That's really North.
Yeah, fucking was North. Mm-hmm. They weren't overly friendly to me. I've got to be honest.
Why were you living there?
My girl did a master's in Aberdeen, and I worked in Snappy Tomato Pizza, and then and that's my first job after uni.
And then I worked in the, it was called the ABC, I think it's that fucking old, or maybe it became the MGM Cinema. In Aberdeen, there was only one.
Right, okay.
Before all these multiplexes and stuff, old school cinema in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I was in Aberdeen for quite a while, but it's quite a fucking scary place to be an Englishman, I'm telling you.
Fair enough.
Because, it's quite far north.
It's very, I think is it the most northern Scottish city?
No.
No?
I think this place is further north.
Is it?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, it's as north as most people
get. Yeah.
And there was always plenty of money because of the kind of oil rigs.
Yeah, the oil.
Like loads of money. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. But yeah, I enjoyed myself there.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah. Greg. He's made of fucking granite. Everything. Right, so I was only thinking he's coming to Forger from my thing.
Yeah, that's where he lives, yeah. So.
Mm-hmm. Right, so what are we doing? Northern Wall list. What's your list, fella?
Well, as said,
list.
I went with Dark Elves, and I went with six Spearmen.
Six Spearmen.
Four Crosswomen.
Yeah.
Two Witch Elves.
Yeah.
Three Dark Riders.
One
Cold One Knights with a Banner of Shielding.
One into that 18-year-old kid, yeah.
One Half East.
No one will get through my Banner of Shielding. We're simply unbeatable.
One War Hydra, two Bolt Throwers, a General, a Hero on a Manticore with a Sword of Might, and a Sorceress with a Scroll of Dispelling. Gives me 2,000 points and Scouts of 12.
You know, 12?
Half these Dark Riders and... but you didn't get this on the tournament of new Scouts.
Oh, so. Brilliant.
That was very quick.
I've got the results up in front of me now.
Yeah. Yes.
So I can tell you, there was quite a lot of different races.
There was.
Dwarves were hands down the most numerous.
On the day, there was 24 players. They had some drops the day and night before. And 24 players turned up to play.
Okay. So in no particular order, I will tell you the different races.
All right.
Okay. Dwarves, ogres, Bretonians, vampire counts, tomb kings, dwarves, orcs, high elves, tomb kings, dwarves, demons, dark elves, wood elves, Albion, Kislevs, tomb kings, goblins, Godland, good man. Dwarves, fucking dwarves everywhere, dwarves, Bretonians, dark elves, dwarves, northern empire.
So no high elf for me.
Yeah, why would you bother now? Why would you bother? They get all get cheaper generals, don't they, the bastards?
Bastards.
And it seems like everybody's bringing dwarf. A dwarf versus dwarf match must be quite fucking.
Must be quite stale. The scenarios, every round was scenarios, and we'll talk. In each round, we'll talk about my thoughts on the scenario and what that impact it had.
Okay, right. So let's we got our first we've got a list.
Yeah.
So what do we need to do next? We need to see the scenarios and games played. So what was round one?
Round one was called Face Off.
Nicolas Cage. Yeah.
Yep. You take the face of the opponent off,
and then you wear it.
Then you wear it and live their, and live their life.
Bang his wife.
Yeah, bang his wife. Teach his daughter how to stab somebody. And then you.
And who's the other fella?
His son.
Nicolas Cage and John Travolta.
John Travolta. Yeah. That's what you got to do.
Mm-hmm. So you took his face. Then you took his wife.
Yeah. And
it was Guy, anyway.
Yeah, so I was drawn randomly against Guy Hunter, who was the winner of the event last year, and I was second place last year. So this was like the final that didn't happen, because there would have been, there would have needed to be another round to be an absolute winner last year. And I'm against Guy Hunter. He's using dwarves, and I'm using dark elves.
Yeah, carry on, sir. So you're playing Guy Hunter.
So yeah, so
and he's got dwarves.
He's got dwarves. Yeah,
you're loving the idea of running your one unit of cold ones with a magic banner.
Banner of shielding
from the scanners.
Yeah. It'll help.
The banner will protect us, sir.
Yes. Magic banner. Anyway, so the table. First of all, before we talk about this first game, all the tables, scenery quality was fantastic. They were all really good, and some tables. There was particularly one that was like based like looked like a demon world or nightmare world, wow. Like a bridge of skulls and stuff, and using some AOS.
It was actually, wouldn't it?
It looked fantastic. I took a photo and put it on Facebook of all the tables. So kudos to the terrain. It was really good quality. Right, so in my game against Guy, Guy's gone for a breakpoint 8 dwarf army. He only has one unit of rangers in it. It's nine units of warriors.
Of course.
And a couple of units of slayers. It's non-GW models, and he's got the standard of, the dwarf things, you take artillery brigade. So
both units of fire, belchy, fucking things.
No. So he put the cannons together, and he had the flame. He had the flame cannon in an infantry brigade in the middle.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway.
That would toughen up the infantry.
Yeah,
you wouldn't want to charge them.
No, you definitely wouldn't. Yeah, like.
So maybe you should have two of them. That's not bad protecting.
Interesting. Different. This game of face off is that you gain 100 VPs for breaking the enemy, 75 VPs for more unit points of in the enemy's table half than the opponent. So you have, if you have more of their stuff, your stuff in their table half
than they do. Well, that's not going to be very easy if they're playing dwarves castling up, is it? I guess.
Well, and
they've got the whole fucking army in there.
And then 50 points for killing more points than the enemy, and so the maximum you could score is
225.
Which is the same. The maximum score you can get in any of the scenarios is 225. So Guy has the first turn,
okay,
and comes steamrolling over the table at me. Like
what's he doing with his cannons?
Bringing them forward. He got three orders off of them. They were shelling me on my first turn before I even moved. They were shelling me because they range 60. He'd moved them 30 centimeters forward, and they were shelling me.
What's the difference between
80? 80, yeah, standard, yeah. So
you see, with a bit of experience, 10. You'd have set off the front, wouldn't you?
I would. Yeah, I was in. I didn't.
Well, typically, something you hit the cold ones with a banner. No, okay? No.
Waiting their moment. So Guy really puts pressure on me. Fast.
So what does he blow up with his cannon?
Oh, some crossbow or something like that. His
could have been a Hydra. Could have been something really fucking big.
So Guy's also shoves forward a lot. His dwarves, a lot, two of his brigades, quite far forward.
He does realise he's got a leadership 10 general and 6 units of cold ones.
Guy, I mean, for a lot of this game, really, I would have said Guy had the initiative. I was reacting to his moves.
Well, he's read the scenario, isn't he? Because you've got to get into your half. You can't win in his half.
Yeah, which he's doing.
But you can't win unless you get in his half.
Yeah. So the game goes on. It's really tight. Guy's a really good player. He actually taught me, taught me some rules.
Surely not.
But they were pretty, I mean, they were like, that didn't sound right, but they didn't have big impacts on things. But then he could show me, because he came ready to prove his points, and then he would show me.
You're sharing these points, these learners?
Oh, okay, so when you fall back, so your combat's done,
yeah,
and you make your reform move, you move them one stand, and the others form up around that stand.
Yes.
But those other stands can be further forward of a line. So, say...
What, the battle line?
Yeah, which seemed wrong to me. I thought that was like a hard line.
Well, maybe that's just something that's never been exploited.
Yeah, it had very little impact in the game. But
it could.
Yeah, but it could.
If you've got a cheesy fucker like me, who says, I'm not going to fall back, and then I'm going to rotate and fucking push my stuff into your flank when it shouldn't be allowed to go forward. Because now two of my stands are in your flank, potentially.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm a cheesy fucker.
So. Yeah. And also, when you roll off to see who moves first in a draw, it's just a 1-3, it's one player, 4-6 is the other. Yeah, it's not.
Oh, no, that didn't really,
it's not an opponent.
That really doesn't matter.
Yeah, that doesn't really matter. It's like, well, that's just different. The same
thing.
That's
not exploitable.
And the other thing he pointed out to me was, so you have a brigade unit in front, and I'll just use these Skaven, and then you have a unit behind.
Yeah,
and this
like,
unit
like,
behind
yeah.
is taking a casualty.
Yeah.
So you want them to attack and them to supporting charge.
Yeah.
They only need the order. So
yeah,
they,
of course, yeah.
I didn't realise they also.
They don't even need an order, do they?
Yeah, I didn't realise that. I didn't know that was. I thought that.
No.
I thought in initiative.
No. Supporting charge is only on initiative.
No. It can be done on a command.
I'm telling you, it can't.
Guy thinks it can.
Well, I'm telling you, it can't.
Again, it didn't make much difference because it's the command roll he made would have passed regardless of the casualty, so it didn't make much difference.
I mean, this is the problem with any game system. Yep. Whenever you move stuff around, it'll take a little while to bed in again. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure both of those exploits weren't intended in the game.
I mean, I'm not the judge, and as I said,
I'll prod Alex, bro.
But that's. I mean, there you go. It's not every game I get.
I'm 100% sure initiative that supporting charge is on initiative only.
Anyway, 100%
sure.
Anyway.
Because I was trying to exploit that in Worcester.
Yeah.
And I wasn't allowed.
Ah, there you go.
Because those fuckers didn't have it anyway, yeah.
So, the tie points of the battle, just trying to remember.
So you broke him and he got
thing. So ultimately, I broke him after I did a good job of surrounding some of his brigades and like breaking them up. And actually, he made a mistake of failing to order something into combat. And yeah, I continued to like apply pressure around him. My dark riders did a good job. My shooting managed to land quite well.
Right.
You know, and but I did.
He had four wounds.
He had failed a lot of armor rolls. But
you actually killed stuff.
Yeah.
With shooting,
enough of it.
Yeah, bolt throwers, these are not.
Yeah, like bolt throwers and dark riders. Yeah. But there was a situation where I saw that his cannons were all by themselves, so two units of cannons, and I was like, and they had infantry units either side, and I was like, it's going to be worth a trade off of my harpies to get something. In they charge in, they take some damage, they put down eight attacks onto one unit of cannon, but I only managed to get two wounds.
And you must have taken more than that on the way in.
I'd taken wounds. No, but I'd done attacks on it. I mean, my harpies from eight dice.
Yeah, but the stand and shoot must have done more than two wounds.
I think it did like four. So it took a standoff or something. I have two stands of harpies on a unit of cannons. And I'd have traded them, the harpies, for a unit of cannon.
So you got one stand?
And I got one stand of cannon.
And then your harpies died?
Yeah, my harpies. Well, then pushed away, couldn't be chased, and then got countercharged and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, but I was like, I didn't expect to get them back. That was early on. I was like, okay, because once I had his cannons done, I would have the range of the game. And like, I could shoot a lot with my guys, and like, you know, I hadn't, really, with all three of the scenarios, I needed a different build of my dark army wanted to stay back more and shoot more, and to be honest, that I needed an army that would get more and take zones more. Yeah, I like
maybe something with a bit more armor.
Yeah, maybe a bit more maneuver and a bit more cavalry. Yeah.
A bit more maneuverable and armor.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Well, then more and more to fill that role.
Yeah, maybe.
So, also, you appear to be skimming maybe a few blunders in this game.
Yes, so this is why I'm coming up to this.
Well, it's taking a while to get there.
So,
because we all remember Paul doesn't blunder, yeah. Which is why he doesn't need the magic item.
Don't need it. So the game comes down to a situation where I plan off how I'm gonna rush his cannons with my Colwyn knights because they fire great shot. I've got three up armor and I looked at the situation. I was like, if I get over there, if I break the cannons, I can actually be in a position where I can keep the doors in my front. And he'll only get one round of attacks before it, like, because I'm cavalry. They'll be in a good position. It'll be hard for him to counter him as well. I set it up. I needed to pass an eight with my, you know, to get them into combat.
With what, a hero?
With it was a general. So it was a third order. If I'd have passed that order, I think I'd have probably wiped out the cannons. And I'd have been in a really good position.
Okay.
But
what happened, Paul?
I rolled a blunder.
Well, you can't. The other guy can't blunder, can he?
Exactly. He had to drop his own command.
To nine.
And if I had taken the scepter, that was my first blunder of that game. I think it would have automatically passed it.
In addition to
keeping your command, you send your guys.
I mean, that sounds expensive. That might. I mean, you'd charge a lot of points for such a bonus, wouldn't you? 30 points?
30 points, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Less than that fucking banner.
Instead, I took a Scroll of Dispelling against Dwarfsmiths. I failed that order. And my cold ones never made combat on their choice. The But I say, I still...
I mean, you were lucky that they didn't just kill you off as the Commander-in-Chief. Dark Elves would say, look, that's two mistakes you've made. That's it. A couple of kidney shots from the back. Get on the fire.
Throughout the game, I rolled three blunders. I had a Command 8 general.
An Orc general.
And I killed off my Sorceress as well.
You only need one per tournament, and your fucking tournament's ruined. Orc's general.
I think all things considered, the fact that I broke him, I think that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
I was pretty happy.
It's the troops, isn't it? It's the troops, not the commander.
Yeah, yeah. So
lions.
Yeah. The game ends. So I've got just 100 points for breaking the enemy. Guy has the others, the 75 points for more units and for more units in my half and killing more of the points. And the scenario meant that it became a draw. And he actually obviously ended up with more VP. Though I'd broken him, he ended up
with 125.
125, yeah, to my 100. And the game wasn't a win to me, it was a draw.
So it would have been capped the other way if you'd have broken him and, say, somehow managed to get 100...
I thought, reading the rules back, I thought that I would get... For breaking the army, I thought I would get 3 points for a win and his VPs would... He would get 1 point as for having more score. We did have to ask at the end, how does that result actually tally up? But by this scenario pack, it made it a draw.
Chess clocks.
There was just round times, my games never came close to
it. They shouldn't ever.
One of the games I finished with an hour spare. Yeah. That was the result. I got a draw against Dwarves in the first round.
Very nice. There was a lot of draws, weren't there?
In fact, nobody won all three of their games.
Excellent.
So round two. It's King of the Hill. I'm against a Orc player.
King of the Polish Road. Polish Orc player.
Polish Orc player.
Well done,
Ames. This one is a diagonal deployment map, and you've got to hold the central zone.
This is like, what do we play? The Wizard's Tower.
Yes, exactly. And 100 points for controlling the objective of the game end. 75 points if you control the objective and no enemies within 20 of it. That's pretty hard. And 50 points for breaking the enemy. So really, somebody's going to come away with 150, most likely, for controlling it and breaking the enemy. I would say, just with the first scenario,
So again, this is the kind of scenario where controlling it means nothing unless you break them.
Yes,
the game
exactly.
Doesn't end.
Exactly. This wasn't cumulative scoring.
Would the game end if the time, around time?
Yes.
Oh, okay. You could just...
Yeah.
So, I guess if you're a real wanky, you could just grind the time out.
In this one, my Dark Elves played really well. I had Dark Riders on a flank, which just dominated that flank.
It'll help if you don't blunder.
His Orc army had six Boar Boys in it, six Boar Boy units. And, I managed to hit them a lot before they made contact.
Probably in the flanks as well, probably, with your leadership 10 against the...
They're
doing it on smell alone, aren't they?
The Orcs command was typically atrocious. I had used my Harpies to drop down and give negative commands.
Because that's what they do. Get them down to 7.
Again, this guy, he had his Rock Lobbers by itself, and my Harpies just came straight in to attack that. Because I didn't want to be shot at, I wanted to shoot at him. And with Orcs having a lot less armour, like Goblins and Orcs, my crossbows were basically killing off a unit a turn, like just blasting.
Your big crossbows?
Yeah, where the repeated bolt throwers were, they were just blasting away a unit a turn.
I hate playing Orcs. It's just fucking... Unless the Geroffs keep things kind of... So you never get sorted, you never get fixed.
Yeah.
Your artillery brigade's always spread out and you're fucking...
The problem with this game, the scenario obviously... was a bit strange because it did. It's all about holding that central zone.
Yeah, but you could be made to get off it.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can move 30 centimetres, that's fucking miles.
So the guy, his Orc and Goblin army didn't have any way to tell the units apart. And we did have a weird situation where I'd been keeping a tally of his break and he thought he was broken. And I was like, no, I don't think you are. And we had to spend about 5 minutes sorting his army out, as in, like, what is a unit and what isn't a unit, you know, like, for half break points. And he was still... So he finished a turn of his, where he thought he'd been broken, and I was like, hang on, it's going to be a bit awkward, because when did you actually break? But he still had about half a break point left. Yeah, it was half a break point, because that's what I'd kept the tally of. And it was quite simple for me then just to move my units into the zone. I even held it with artillery.
Get a half a break.
And get a half a break to win the game. So he did have a good fight back. Yeah, I did lose quite a bit of stuff in one turn.
How many wizards do you have?
Only two, as I remember. Yeah.
I could smell. Because it all went to plan. There was no shenanigans.
You
need your four wizards, because then at least you get one Geralt a turn. One thing's getting fucked about each turn.
So I came through with a win for that. I did not have the 75 points bonus for pushing him within 20, because his whole army was within 20 of this objective, really.
Where it should be.
So I won that and took 150 points of that. So my round three is a hold ground against a guy called Steve, using a Tomb King army. And in this one here, you've got two zones on left and right. 5 points curative scoring at the end of each player turn, so mine and yours I can score for each objective held by each player. 40 points for each held objective at the end of the game, and 25 points for breaking the opponent.
There's no limit to what you could score.
It will cap at the score of the others, which is...
Oh, it does say that. 175.
Yeah,
175.
No, 225.
Is that the maximum?
Yeah.
225. Okay.
It will cap there. This is actually our cumulative scores as we were going along. This was by far the best scenario, because it had cumulative scoring. We were scrapping over these two areas. You held a zone. It was an open bit of scenery, just a marked zone, by having the most unit points in there than the opponent. Characters didn't count, because obviously they're too easy to get in. This was my favourite game of the event. Because it's the guy was
Well, could these zones be in anything, in woods or
no? They were just free of terrain zones. So they counted as scenery, so you couldn't magically move a piece of wood into it.
onto it.
I thought that was quite clever.
Envelop it.
That was quite cool. I was like, that's a good touch.
That's what I'd be expecting.
I came away with a very high score for this one, because I held both objectives. I had scored a lot of them throughout, and I also got 25 points for breaking him. And this was the game that I took. I mean, he had 5 units of chariots. Yes, they had charged me. Quite a few of them made contact, and they'd done quite a bit of damage.
Yeah, they will.
But I'd managed to then get damage back to him. And again, this guy, his artillery was out by itself. At two bone stone throwers, two rock lobbers, so stone throwers, two bone chuckers.
Yeah. The bone chuckers are better now.
Well, yeah, exactly. But I just went straight in there with my harpies and like took off one of the stone throwers. So again, his long range was not causing me as much.
I mean, you'd have had to take 8 shots with no arms then on the way in from the pole throwers.
I took 4 wounds. As I remember. Because I wanted 2 stands I wanted to take off a bone thrower. And I did that time, because they've only got 3 hits and no armour. So that was cool. He never once managed to cast Raised Debt,
Does not compute, sir.
Not
compute. He committed 5 units of chariots and didn't get 1 Raised Debt off. How many wizards? 4?
No, he didn't have the full amount.
Say 2 or something crazy again.
I think he had 3. I had 1 blunder in this game, so I had to kill my wizard before she'd even used her dispel scroll. I had to slit her throat.
That's £100 down the toilet.
Yeah, straight to him. There you go. This was a really good game. The scenario allowed it to play really well, and I came away with a big win on this one. There we go. I actually found that my opponents got easier rather than harder. Just the way matchups went down for me. Like the first round was the most difficult, and then it matched down. How it went for me.
Well, I don't know what the
It was Swiss pair.
Oh, well, there you go then. Swiss is Swiss. He just fights in front.
Yeah.
So it looks like from what I can see here, you would have needed two more rounds potentially to separate people out, because there were four people finished on 7.
Yeah, but not one. But one of them could have finished on 9. Like, they could have got 3 points, 3 points, 3 points for a win.
Right.
Yeah, but no one got that.
No,
yeah.
But four people got 7.
Yes,
so you need potentially two more rounds to
potentially. Yeah, like and yeah. If you want, do you want to read out the top three?
No, I'll read out the top 5.
Okay.
I don't want to cut Jim off.
Mm-hmm.
So Jim was in 6th place with Albion.
Yep.
Well, Albion then.
It was in 5th place. You mean?
5th place.
Yeah.
Well, it's 6th place.
Yeah, yeah.
Kislev, Ryan Kerr.
Yeah.
Nice. You should have talked to him about Kislev. Yeah. 6 points, 250 objective points, and 2,315 victory points. Jim beat Albion, 6 points, 315 objective points, 2,313 victory points. Alex Jenaway, what else? 7 is the tournament points, objective points, 285, and he did 2,552.5 points of damage. 4 Winter Dark Elf, 7 tournament points, 385 on the objectives, and 2,300.
So I came third.
Did Donald McCallum, fantastic Scottish name.
Yeah, yeah.
So, me any Scottish if you tried.
Yeah.
With demons.
Yeah.
Tartan demons, were they?
Decorn demons. I didn't like. I don't know if they were wearing any tartans, but he also picked up best painted.
Oh, did he? Fuck.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
fair
yeah.
play, fella. Nice demons. Scored 7, 430 objective points, and 1,857.5 victory points. And then the winner was Mark Taylor with Dwarves.
Yep.
I mean, Dwarves deserved it.
Yep.
There's enough of them in there.
They were first and last.
That's true, and always. Score 7, 480 objective points, which sounds like quite a lot, to be honest. That does sound like
quite
a lot.
Yeah, it was.
Seeing that he only got 50 for breaking and 100 for winning.
Yeah.
480 sounds like a lot.
Yeah, it does.
And 2,780.5 victory points, which is also the highest victory point total.
Yeah, and that's why.
Oh no, somebody's got better down here. 2,809.
But that's why he was first amongst equals, is he had the most tournament points.
Well done, sir. Mark Taylor, playing Dwarves.
Yeah. So they posted up their lists. Interestingly, the Dwarf player took no Rangers. And two units of hand, you know, like handgunners, but say like with no ranges included at all. It was like, what would he have done if he'd come up against a fully cavalry army?
Well, what would you have done in old Warmaster?
Yeah,
is
yeah,
the difference.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
In Revolution, you do still have ways.
Yeah,
of
still have ways of dealing with it.
You can hit him in flanks, hit him in both fucking flanks,
kill him anyway.
So,
and the demon player, Donovan McCallum, he took two greater demons.
Oh no, that's beefy. Right, so the winning army list was 8 warriors, 2 handgunners, 2 troll slayers, 2 cannons, 2 gyrocopters. Wow, a general with a sword of fate. Why not? Hero with a sword of might and 2 fucking runesmiths.
Yeah.
You ain't getting no fucking spells off here.
Not like
with a scroll of dispelling.
As well. Like it.
So no flame cannons.
No. And no
rangers. I'm not too worried about rangers because they're too soft in this list.
Okay.
I like warriors. I was going to do an all warrior list.
You were?
Mm-hmm. All warriors.
All warriors all the time.
All warriors all the time. So his rate was 8.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting list. Well done. We have a second place list, 6 horde, 2 cavalry, 2 hounds, 2 flyers, 2 fucking greater demons.
Yeah.
That's 600 fucking points.
Great demons,
600 points, that's like 2, what was that list that Jeff did with fucking 5
dragons.
Eagles? 5
dragons.
Yeah. 5 dragons.
4 dragons all the time.
It was like stupid, I think it might have been 5 dragons, well maybe it was 4.
3 characters, 2 units.
A demon overlord, a wizard, he was upgraded to a wizard, a demon lord hero, with wings, favour of the gods, sword of might, and a sorcerer. So 3 characters, 2 greater demons, fucking hell, 6 infantry units, that's it.
Yeah.
4 cavalry and 2 flyers.
Yeah, what was his breakpoint?
Oh, it must be 8. This, I don't know, what was that, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12... The demon lords count, don't they?
Yeah.
So the greater demon. So that's 7.
7. Breakpoint 7. Demon army.
Fair play to him.
But yeah, it looked great. He used a mixture of DW stuff and and other models from other game systems. It looked really good. And he
came second. We got Batalion.
And also was best Sterling player. which they
How big was the ratings? They look beefy.
They're kind of beefy, yeah. They were oversized for the yeah, but they, it works in War Master.
It does, like. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've started. I've seen what was that dragon?
The Emperor dragon.
The Emperor fucking that fucking yeah, thing
huge.
Is enormous.
Yeah, it's huge. It's like that big. anyway, so. The event was really as far, and then in the evening we went out for a curry.
Traditional curry.
It was really good quality curry, and they sat us in three tables next to each other. And I purposely sat next to John and chatted to him about Comedy Forge and etc. And then it was to a bar afterwards.
I thought Janice wasn't playing anymore. What else?
Well, he was.
He's a fucking.
He got a draw.
He can't help himself now.
Yeah, he got a draw.
Is he going to play for the World Championship as well?
Yeah, of course.
Is he? No, he said he finished with Wood Elves. He said that he wasn't proving anything.
Oh, okay, right.
Was it like a drug? One more hit. Just one more go. One more go. One more. That'll be my last. Honest.
Just one more hit. Straight to me. Yeah.
Honest. No more. Mm. Fuck it.
Sorry. It was really cool. Like,
did you get anyway? Did you get any?
Get
for like second and third or anything?
Oh, there was prizes. You donated some. I didn't get anything for third.
Okay,
yeah, the trophy went.
You don't need any more. You've got enough.
Trophy went to first and second, and trophy went to best Sterling player, and trophy went to best paid. So
you got quite a few. The second place,
three trophies.
Three trophies.
There was a wooden spoon as well.
Okay.
And that was really funny. It was pure natural comedy when they were announcing out who had got what. but it was cool. Everyone was super friendly, and obviously, I thought it was fantastic to be given this Comedy Forge stuff, to promote, which is brilliant. And obviously, now going forward, it's like I thought I'd give up with Skaven for a while. I've been drawn back. I have to use these now, don't I?
Just when I thought I was out,
they dragged me back in.
It's like, fuck, you're gonna get a fucking pasted again if you start playing these fuckers.
I know. But Jim came up with an idea on how to run them, which I was like, that does sound interesting.
The bin lid.
Is it using a lot of Giselles?
Yeah,
like,
oh my god, yeah, Giselles and fucking warp lightning cannons.
No, not warp lightning cannons. So you have essentially you in on the defensive you have rat swarms in front of Giselles. You can't support the rat swarms. So when they get beaten in combat, you don't move, they get wiped out. So the enemy has to advance onto your Giselles.
Okay.
So no charge bonuses and they get unloaded on by.
But they still count as dying the rat swarm.
Yes, yeah, I know. And that'd be my counterpoint.
You don't have to charge.
No, so. That'd be my counterpoint. I was like, that's interesting how to take a charge. How do you attack?
With these guys.
I hadn't thought about that yet. So it's like,
And they are on the piercing, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Yeah. Yeah, and they're obviously then they're supported as well. Like.
But they ain't got any armour.
Six up.
Say five. That's
Token.
Token armour.
They're
not cheap, I don't think. Points wise. 70. Oh, jeez.
Oh, jeez.
How many of them are you going to want?
It's not something I've tried before. But
I think I did. I wrote a list of mine. I said, because apparently somebody came up with a way of playing Skaven that was like backbreaking, but I just couldn't.
Yeah.
I couldn't even contemplate having this many miniatures. Because so all you need is a single character.
Right.
Just your general.
Yeah, okay.
And you have nothing else apart from clan rats.
That's ridiculous.
And it gets to. Your break's like madness. It could be like, I think it was like 30.
Yeah.
You've got to kill 30 of
my units.
30?
You can't possibly kill that many. Like,
I don't know, was it as many as that? 60 units, huh? Yeah.
No, 40. 40 points, yeah.
No, that's too many.
Yeah. But the break point would be ridiculous. Yeah, up into the 20s.
Oh, we're way into the 20s. Yeah, yeah. 25, maybe.
Which is far more than anything else. Like, more than double some armies, maybe treble. Yeah. Imagine that break point 7 demon army against that.
Eventually, you would just get swarmed.
Yeah, it's like you kill some stuff, but I will eventually move round.
At the end, there's nothing like there's no light left. All there are is little brown fairy tongues and fucking fairy feet.
Yeah.
until you're all dead.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I mean, maybe I'll token it up. Yeah. And then you've got literally the bin lid, haven't you? Just one order.
Just one order.
Right, Kate, well, well played, Paul.
It's
better than fucking Worcester.
Yeah, no, definitely. And
was that the wooden spoon at Worcester?
It was. Yeah, and it puts my rating back up again. Thanks.
Is Jim doing his fucking
Of course.
Coefficient.
It's cool because I really enjoyed all my games, to say, the last one especially. And it was really, and Guy was a really good opponent, you know, and I'm glad, I was pleased to take a draw, get a break him. So, and he said to me that was the first time he'd been broken in a tournament. And then he actually lost the Jammers later, lost the game, so there you go. Once, twice.
First of,
He
hasn't fought the Jan away.
Well, I mean, I said to Janners though, but it was great seeing all those tables and all those players and all those armies. And I said to Janners, it's like, I'm still yet to play against your Wood Elves. This needs to be arranged, at some point. I need to see what they do. I'd like to
look at Janners. You need to see the tournament environment though, because
they're different, isn't it? Different animal.
It's losing anyway, but in the tournament, it's fucking hard.
It's been a while since he's lost now.
he's lost all fucking year with Wood Elves.
I don't think so. No.
No, he hasn't.
Yeah, he hasn't. He's just gone.
It's like the fourth tournament. Yeah. He hasn't lost a fucking game.
Yeah, but the thing is, you can't say, oh, that means Wood Elves are too good. That means Janus is too good.
He's got to stop using them. He's not proving anything.
Hey, man. You seen those 10mm ogres, man? Gotta get me some of those sweet ass 10mm ogres, man. I could brother up, man, I'm jonesing.
Good touch, jibber jabber fool, and get yourself to blackgateminiatures.com. That's blackgateminiatures.com.
Right, so we just got a little bits at the end to do. I can't remember what we've talked about. You're on your GT thing.
So now
I think the prize pool's exceeding the fucking pay.
Yes, it is. Yes.
You need to chill out, fella.
So now it's all full attention to promoting the London GT.
I'm doing my part.
Yeah, I'm doing my. There's 10 people paid tickets already.
Okay.
And of course, I don't think that it's going to end with more players than was at North of the Wall. It could do. There's no cap, so the tickets are £40. There's no convention ticket.
That's good. There is parking, which makes a big difference.
Oh, I thought it was free parking.
That's what I mean. There's free parking.
Oh right,
so
okay, yeah.
Your £40 ticket is all you pay.
Yes, yeah. And there's food being provided on site, so you shouldn't have to go too far, and it's reasonably catered. It was in their last notes they sent out. But ultimately.
It's more than eight, so it's 2 days.
We're going to have 4 rounds at least, and if it doesn't need to have 5, then I might suggest to everyone that they play a casual round before we start the tournament. Like, that doesn't mean anything that I can draw people against if they
or
want.
Or give me more time in bed on Sunday.
Or whatever. Yeah,
you can play a casual round. Yeah. I'll try and get rid of my hangover.
All right. But please come along and play some Wallmaster. Or come along, then you make one of the days, come along, and I think you can probably get in the venue and see us for free. I think.
I don't know how that works, because there is no convention ticket.
Yeah, there isn't, so I think it's too...
So they're not with traders this year, or they still have traders?
I don't know.
Because there was quite a lot of traders last year.
But I think given the venue of what it is, it's much more porous than the stadium it was in, which they could block into one...
Oh, the stadium was the opposite of porous.
Yeah.
Couldn't fucking get in.
Couldn't get in. Because some people have... One or two have messaged me saying, oh, I'll be there on the Saturday to have a look. Yeah.
Cool. Come see. Cool.
Yeah. I just need to... Yeah, and I can use... I'll use my table's worth, and if I need to use Chris Orr's stuff, I'll use his as well. And we'll all be in the car, which is quite convenient, so at some point between now and then, I should do a little recce drive to the area just to see it, so I know where it is.
It's not too far for us at all. Literally, it might be 35 minutes.
Yeah, just go check it out. Yeah, check out the venue, and then, because we'll be, the car will be heavy loaded with scenery and mats, and we just need to set up.
You got any of the bunker people going?
Some interest, but it doesn't.
This is always the problem when there's no. There's a little bit with the Euro GT because there's no there's no selling out yet. It's not close to selling out. There's no pressure for people to buy. Yeah. So they kind of leave it till the last minute, say.
That's fine. Yeah. Yeah, they can do it. It just matters who turns up on the day. I mean, it's going, as I said to people over up in Scotland, is it's going to run. Like, you know, it could run with 50 people if there was 50 people playing. But there won't be. But, no. You know, and I have, and there will be, you know, really good prize support there for, you know,
for jammers.
First, second, third and stuff.
And Jammers.
Yeah, and it will be a full Swiss event. There will be only one winner. There'll be enough rounds to play to one winner.
Oh, definitely only one winner.
Yeah, yeah, because the way
I'm... Even jammers, though.
Yeah, probably. because the way I've written my tournament pack is, of course, there, you know, you get, you know, there's a winner or there's a loser. There's no in between. And I say, like, these scenarios that I played at Scotland, I did like the last one, it was really good. Yeah, but I think it's very similar to the one that we.
Well, you can do whatever, it's your scenario.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it looks a little black game, and it's just fucking similar at the front, though. Yeah, that's nice. Mm-hmm.
So, that. How many. How
so, what did Pendragon send?
Boxed army, yeah, like a little.
You need to do some Millennium
Battlefield. Yeah, nice. Did, so, how's the numbers for your Euro GT?
I've got more commitment than ticket sales.
Yeah.
Well, for a start, you haven't paid for yours yet. And I know you're coming because I've already booked your flight.
Okay. Tell me how much it is, I'll pay you.
It's on your slate. Your slate's pretty healthy. Because there's three nights hotel and return airfare on your slate at the moment.
Oh, speaking about travel.
You've got five jobs anyway, yeah. So it doesn't really matter.
But speaking about travel-wise, I found getting up to Falkirk quite simple. You just
need a driver to pick you up, so like the Queen.
But yeah, it was cool. It's like the flight up there was delayed both ways, but it's very, yeah, I can see, you can
was
probably...
Was it Ryanair?
Ryanair up and EasyJet.
They're never delayed. They're always on time. It doesn't matter how delayed you are, they always do another successful on-time arrival. Bollocks, mate, you're supposed to be here an hour ago.
it all worked out very easily. And the hotel I was in Falkirk.
Make a noise.
The hotel I was in.
You can't help yourself.
In Falkirk was the cheapest hotel in Falkirk.
You said that.
And it showed.
Okay, right. So we're going to. That's it for today. I think there's not much more to talk about. So we'll wrap that up. Well, Paul's packing up. See, he's got to be multitasking. So I'm trying to shield the fucking. The stereo, whatever that is, microphone, away from Paul. So we'll be back in a couple of weeks. I don't know what the next one's going to be about.
I don't know either.
Do you know, we've still got quite a while till your next event.
Yes.
We've got a long time to my event.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it'll be.
Yeah, where are we at with the army reviews? What would be next army review?
I don't know, they're kind of stable at the moment.
Okay, right.
Until we decide to do the next batch.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll come up with something.
Okay, well, no, it'll definitely be something, and it'll definitely be in the next couple of weeks.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, thanks for listening to episode 121.
Yep.
North of the Wall.
Yep.
2019 with Paul and Barry.
Yeah.
Speak to you again soon.
Would you like to know more?